Yesterday was 13 years since we lost Steve Irwin, and that was one of the moments where everyone, internationally, you knew where you were when that news broke.
Mm, and Jamie Seymour from JCU joins us now, who was actually on that trip. He was on Croc 1 on that fateful day. Jamie, firstly, thank you for sharing with us what happened on that day, but do you want to walk us through kind of what actually unfolded?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, it's an interesting one because we'd been out there. We're at Bat Reef, which is a reef out off Port Douglas, and we were there to film tiger sharks. Okay, that's one of the things. And Bat Reef's a good area because you get big stingrays there. The tiger sharks come in and they chew on the wings of the stingrays, and so it's a great place to get them. But the weather had been, for the want of better word, lousy, and we hadn't been able to do that. And Steve, you've got to remember that Steve's got two gears, like asleep or 1,000 miles an hour. Think of a kid on red cordial, and that was Steve. So you can just imagine you've now got him cooped up in a little boat, not being able to do anything. And it's like, I've got to do something. So he's whipped out early one morning. And I, because there wasn't quite enough room on Croc 1, I actually slept in the galley. So all I've been woken at God knows what time in the morning of Steve just bolting out of the boat. I'm going, what the? He's bolted out. Best mate's gone with him. Justin Lyon's gone with him. They've jumped in the boat and gone. And I've just gone, what the hell's going on? And Johnny Staton, the director, and again, one of his best mates, going, oh, he's just gone off to film stingrays. And I've gone, oh, okay. And we talked the night before about filming stingrays, and he was going to film stingrays for his daughter's show. And he was going to use a big chainmail suit when he was going to do the tiger shark stuff and the stingray stuff. And I went, look, don't. And he went, what? I said, well, the problem is that makes you super heavy. And if you have an incident diving with your BCD and stuff on and you have a buoyancy issue, I can't get you off the bottom because you're too heavy. And he went, oh. I said, so you don't need it. What you need to do is be aware of this and this and this and these things, yada, yada, yada. Great. No problems. Under control. So he bolted out to do the stingray stuff. And I talked to Johnny. He said, yeah, he's going out and sort of, you know, 2 or 3 feet worth of water. Be fine. Great. So I've gone back, had some cornflakes and things of that nature. And next thing, all you hear is, because we had another vessel out there that was a support crew going. And so you've got someone in the rubber duck with Steve going, Steve's been hit by a stingray. And that's all I've heard. I'm just going, oh, okay, he's been jabbed in the arm or jabbed somewhere, and yeah, it won't be an issue. And they've taken him to the other vessel. And as they're taking him to the other vessel, the skipper on that vessel's going, no, get him to Jamie. And I thought, whoa, this is a little harder than I thought it was. So this is all you're hearing over the radio. Mm-hmm. So the rubber duckies then come back to Croc 1. And time frame, we're talking maybe three and a half minutes, max. Steve's at the back deck of the boat. Steve, at that stage of the game, is prostrate in the rubber ducky. You've got Justin Lyon, two of the other mates with him, and he's not moving. And I've just gone, whoa, what's gone wrong here? And I've said, give me a 2-second update of what happened. And they've gone, Steve's been hit in the chest with a stingray barb. And it's like, oh, hell. And I've just got down to him and sort of grabbed him by the shoulders and gone, Steve, are you with me? And you sort of just saw a little bit of movement in him. I thought, okay, he's not breathing. Start CPR. So we're banging away and they're giving him CPR and mouth to mouth and sort of dragged him out of the dinghy on the back deck of the boat or on the duckboard of the boat. And this has gone on for about 2 or 3 minutes. And then I've just gone, stop. And everybody's looked at me and gone, what the? I said, get him out of there and get him up on the deck. And everybody's looking at me to go, what? And I'm just going, just get him out of there. And what the thing was, and I said, to me, everything just went into super slow motion and it was just, you're going to do this and it will happen. And when I looked around what was going on, the output or the muffler for the boat was blowing carbon monoxide directly onto where we were doing it. So I pulled him out, and we've got him on the back deck. Bang! I've then bolted back into the skipper, going, radio, I need, you know, bang, get everybody here that we need. And I looked back at what I did, and there was one thing that I did wrong. And I've wandered back in, talked to the skipper, come back out, and Johnny Staton's looked at me and just gone, Jamie, is this all right? Are we going to be right for tomorrow morning? Because he was just, you know, he didn't know what the hell was going on. I was just not thinking it. We've lost him. He's dead. And bang. And so I've said that away from everybody else where Johnny was and just gone, you idiot, Jamie, why have you said that? I've bolted back out. Everybody's doing CPR and I've just gone, keep going. We're going to do this. And we're changing everybody in and out. And in the back of my head, I'm going, okay, it's hit him in the heart. It's just a small hole. There's no blood anywhere. I've gone, it's hit him in the heart. I've got to somehow stop the heart from bleeding. And I'm thinking in the back of my head going, the only way I'm going to be able to do that is to crack his chest on the back deck of a boat with a knife, find the hole in his heart, plug it, stitch him back up again, and get him out of here. And that sort of went through my brain in about a second and a half. I'm going, which planet are you on, Seymour? You can't do that. And at that stage of the game, I knew we'd lost him. But in the back of my head, I'm going, I cannot tell that to anybody else on the boat because we'll lose everybody. And I just went, okay, guys, we keep doing this. We keep him alive. I don't care how long we do it for. We will keep him alive. We'll get him to hospital. It will be fine. And everybody sort of looked at me and went, oh, okay, bang. So you had Philippe Cousteau there as well, so Jacques Cousteau's grandson and things. So we had, you know, there was a lot of people there. We're banging away at this. This took sort of probably an hour and a half to get him from there to Low Isles. So we got him to Low Isles. The RFDS had been there. The medevac chopper had been there. We got him off the boat. They took him off the boat. There wasn't enough room in the boat for everybody. So myself and the skipper were the only people left on Croc 1. They took Steve over to Low Isles, and I sat there, and the skipper and I sat there, looked at one another. He went to one end of the boat. Sorry, guys, I get a bit teary here. He went to one end of the boat, and I went to the other and just broke down. I just went, Jesus, what just happened? And so they all went back. We got back onto Croc 1. Steve, at that stage of the game, had been on the chopper and taken back to Cairns. We got back on Croc 1, and it was, looking back, it was really interesting. Everybody went to their own place in the boat and just sat there. Nobody talked to anybody. There was nothing. And we just went back to Port Douglas, arrived at Port Douglas, and it was just this complete sober system. I mean, everybody was just on another planet. It was really, really, really interesting when you look back. It was just everybody trying to sort of cope with what was going on. So that was what was going on in my head on the boat. It was, they got him to Low Isles. They had a doctor there, and the doctor at that stage of the game then just went, no, it's all over. We've lost him. So when the crew and everybody came back to Croc 1, everybody had known that he was in. He's gone. So it was, yeah, it was surreal at that time. It really was.
Well, listen, Jamie, thank you so much for opening up about that. And, you know, I know it's been a very hard time in your life as well to get through.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, you relive it every year. And, yeah, look, there was a time there when it happened in the first couple of months where, yeah, it was interesting. You'd talk to my kids about it and they went, Dad, you go through these cycles. You'd be sitting at home and I'd be talking normally. Then I just break into tears.
Yeah.
And then you go back around and come around again. And it's like, you know, I got to get out of this. I can't do it anymore. And my son said to me one day, he just went, but Dad, this is you. If you stop doing this, you're no longer you. And it was like, wow, he hit the nail right on the head. And I said, but what if I go out and die? And he went, that's it, Dad. This is who you are. Don't change. And that was that he and my daughter said the same thing. And it was just sort of a click. Okay, we'll move ahead. So,
wow.
But don't remember the guy for being killed by a stingray. Remember him for what he did, which was save the crocs, crocs rule. I mean, I don't think anybody else on the planet has had such an impact on conservation of animals. And that's what we should be remembering the guy for.
Well, mate, thanks so much for opening up, buddy. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.